Blind men cannot see. How about you? Have you ever been unable to see at all, or perhaps merely unable to see clearly? Whether it's the simplicity of foggy like travel conditions, or something more serious as far as spiritual obscurity. This condition certainly hampers mobility, ease of travel, as well as being able to function safely. And the far greater peril to our souls is spiritual blindness. So when we sing, "Though the eye of sinful man thy glory cannot see," and when we confess to the Lord that it was at the cross where we first saw the light, or as we confess to the Lord that we did not have eyes to see and we did not have ears to hear, but it's only Holy Spirit power that breaks through the darkness of our hearts and brings us to the foot of the cross, not only in salvation, but in life with Christ. What would you do if you were to find yourself in such a situation of blindness, or just being unable to see clearly? And certainly it's one thing to travel in those kind of conditions, but one of the dreadful realities of spiritual blindness, it's something that we unwittingly find ourselves, it's that we find ourselves in unbeknownst to ourselves, unless the Holy Spirit and the light of truth in Christ breaks through and convicts our hearts, and we realize, whoa, I had no idea. Such was the case with the nation of Israel. They rejected God's plan for them to be the channel of His blessing to the nations. So He temporarily, as the sovereign King, He temporarily interrupted the prophetic program with what's called the revelation of the mystery. And He is now reaching the nations, the Gentiles, apart from Israel and directly through, not through Israel, but through the church, the body of Christ. And we're in part 5 of the 7 super B's of the grace message. And in fact, what am I doing here? I have a new handy dandy clicker. This guy in here, this is outstanding. Great. All right, I'll plug this in right here. All right, great. The 7 super B's of the grace message, we're in part 5, called Interruption or the Blindness of Israel. And just as far as to remind you where we've been here in the previous 7 super B's, we've looked at the blood of Christ, and that Jews and Gentiles are reconciled unto God in one joint body of Christ through the cross, and that at the moment of salvation we are spiritually identified, baptized, planted into the death, burial, and resurrection, hence number 3, the baptism into Christ. And we were looking last week at that, how we and our spiritual position, our new address in the heavenly places, in Christ, we are blessed therein in Him with all, every spiritual blessing therein in Christ. And you see where we're at today and where we're going. And so this morning, really 3 main points that we're going to be looking at from the book of Romans. First of all, we see here that in the prophetic program, Israel was God's channel of blessing to the nations. But one of the things that we consistently find in the Old Testament and the gospel records, and especially the book of Acts, is that Israel rejected God's plan to bless the nations in the prophetic program. In the Old Testament, they rejected the God the Father. In the Gospels, they rejected God the Son.
and the testimony of God the Holy Spirit they rejected in the book of Acts, as evidenced by their stoning of Stephen. And today, Israel is temporarily set aside. They're put on the back burner. They're temporarily set aside. You see here, number three. They're temporarily set aside by God's interruption of the prophetic program. How? By the revelation of the mystery which He revealed to and through. He gave and trusted as a stewardship responsibility to and through the Apostle Paul. And hence, the dispensation of grace. Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. Always remember that in your Bible, the chapters of 9, 10, and 11 in Romans, they are what are understood as, recognized as the, hey, what's going on with Israel? Because Romans chapters 1 through 8 unfolds the blessings of God, the justification, the right relationship that Gentiles can have with God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, have peace with God through His vicarious substitutionary sacrifice, His atonement at the cross of Calvary. And chapters 9, 10, and 11 deal with, hey, what about Israel? What about the covenants of promise? Well, look at this. Verses 1 through 5, look at Romans 9. Because in the prophetic program, as far as all these covenants of promise that God gave Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember that three-tiered cake? You got the Abrahamic covenant, then you got the Davidic covenant, then you got the new covenant built on top of that. Is that in the prophetic program, because of the covenants of promise, God's plan was to reach the nations through Israel. Look at Romans 9, in verse 1. And mind you, Paul, he's of the tribe of Benjamin. He's a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I mean, he was a Jew himself, but he was also a Gentile from Tarsus. And look at this, in verse 1. So he's a beautiful picture of the body of Christ. And I tell the truth in Christ, I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. You ever felt like that? Not just because you're having a bad day, but have you ever felt like this because of the reason that Paul felt like this? Look what he says in verse 3. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ or cut off from Christ. I could wish that I were lost, that I was spiritually dead, that I was accursed from Christ. Why would he say that? He says, for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. In other words, he had an anxious soul, a burden on his heart for his people, for the Israelites, for the Jews. He understood, as you look across the page in chapter 10 and verse 1, he says, brethren, my heart's the desire, my prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Says, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal, they have a passion, they have a heart, they have a fire for God, but it's misdirected. It's not according to knowledge. And he says, for they being ignorant, 10 and verse 3, ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, have not submitted to God's righteousness. And he says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. But that was the issue, is they stumbled at the rock of Christ. So Paul's heart, his burden here, is for Israel. But look at verse 4 of 9 and verse 4. Gives us insight into their privileged status that they enjoyed in times past as God's chosen people. He says in verse 4, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption. They were members of the household, the family of God. The glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. And it says in verse 5, of whom are the fathers, basically the patriarchal fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came. Who's over all? The eternally blessed God, amen. And so, yes, the Messiah, he is the prophesied seed of the woman, the lion of the tribe of Judah, to the rightful heir to the throne of David. He's the king of Israel. the one who's going to redeem his people and yes, the world through them, through his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. And so they had a privileged status in times past. And that was God's plan. And look over to chapter 15 in Romans. In chapter 15, not only did they have a privileged status, but they had it was a completely premier situation that they enjoyed. Look at Romans 15 and verse 8. He says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision." What's that? Now, always remember that in the Word of God, circumcision is just not some type of cosmetic medical surgery preference deal. All right? In the prophetic program, in the covenants of promise, it was, hey, if you are a member of the household of God, if you are a member of the people of God, that male children on the eighth day of their life, the foreskin of their flesh, which ought to be cut off as a symbol and a sign and seal of the covenant of God that he made with his people, marking them out in their physical body that, hey, they're God's people. And it was a symbolic testimony also of the cutting off of the foreskin of the heart, and that God's passion for his people is that they would have a heart for him. But the problem with Israel is they were physically circumcised.